And we're coming up on 10 a.m. Stay tuned for one of WCOM's longest-running programs, Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Claudio's show is always fresh and spontaneous, like an excellent bit of impromptu theater each time. Our host finds his comedy and direction very intuitively and skillfully by aspects of the conversation. He is without a doubt among the very few confident, capable, and daring hosts doing the show in this manner. The show continues to receive critical acclaim by peers and audiences alike. So now, please join us for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, now and every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. on WCOM 103.5 FM. And now, here's Claudio.
Oh, no, it's me. Just got through bathing my cat. Lost a lot of blood, man.
You're bleeding cats now?
Felt almost as stupid as politicians have to feel every day when they consider their accomplishments.
There's a few we'd like to bleed of those, right?
But on a positive note, we've got a show that will actually be quite accomplished here. I have the pleasure of having the poet Bartholomew Barker in the studio with me, and also Tara Lynn Groth, whom you've actually heard on the show before in both cases. And Bart, may I call you Bart, or should we go by Bartholomew?
Well, let's go by Bartholomew.
Bartholomew is going to discuss his new book and all things poetic. You've been involved in all kinds of things, including poetry on your plate here at the what's the Century Center, right?
Yes.
I would like to mention that the show is being underwritten by the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council, and we have the president sitting right here, Bob Crowley.
Don't forget us. We're here. We're going to be there.
Why don't you cue us into what day this is, since you are the historian?
What day this is? Oh, this is a very, very great day in all kinds. This is Leprechaun Day, of all things. And why is it Leprechaun Day? Well, it's Leprechaun Day because somebody thought that they deserved their own day, would not just be trumped in with old St. Pat. The other thing about leprechauns is we've got a wrong impression of them here. If you look at leprechauns in Irish folklore, they were not the nice little
sweet people.
No, they were mischievous sprites, more like Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream or something like that. They play tricks on you, and the reason they had the pot of gold is they'd steal it if you'd let them. So we got to be careful of that.
I think over here Disney gets a hold of everything and changes.
Well, yeah, I mean a lot of it got solidified in '57 with a movie called Darby O'Gill and the Little People. That just made it all goofy and whatever. So, but we've got some other things that are interesting. Apparently, somebody has been swimming off of the south coast of Haiti and thinks they've located the wreck of Columbus's ship, the Santa Maria. So that's
It finally got here.
Yeah, finally got here. You know, it took 500 years, but apparently that's there. So that's about all I've really got. The Apex Arts Council is going strong, and we
had a great festival. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we were at Peak Fest. Claudio and I were at the booth. You know, nobody stopped there for autographs, but you know, we tried.
That's okay. We weren't peddling those.
Yeah. So that's it. Go for it.
And that, of course, was a setup for the Apex Arts Council at
absolutely
Peak Fest. What is it called? Peak Fest.
Peak Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said about 8,000 people?
We had about 8,000 people come through during the day, and it's, you know, it's just a big block party. It's rides for the kids and food and general nonsense.
Made you realize how many Northerners have moved to the state. Boy, I tell you what.
The exciting thing is I got to meet Clay Aiken.
Uh-huh.
He was there shaking hands.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. Your buddy Shiloh got a picture taken.
I must have been walking around checking other people's places
out.
Yeah,
there was 1,000 other politicians around, too.
Oh, no doubt. All right. Well, we're going to swing on over to Bartholomew Barker. He's got a new book out called Wednesday Night Regular. It looks a bit on the erotic side, which is definitely up my alley. And we're going to get into some of what Tara's been up to as well. I think, are you part of the North Carolina Poetry Society, or were you just represented by them for the performance at the Century Center?
No, I'm a member of the North Carolina Poetry Society, yes.
Well, cue us into what's going on.
So a couple of years ago, I began visiting a strip club in Durham named Teasers. And
appropriate name.
It's a great name. And I started having a good time there, and I'm a poet, so I take my inspiration where I find it. Began writing poems.
And that ain't a bad place to find it.
Nope. There are some lovely muses there. And I got good encouragement, so I kept writing, and wasn't too long until I realized I was going to have enough poems for a book.
Did you actually try it on some of the girls while you were writing it? Because it's always good to deal with the audience at hand.
Yeah, that was my part of the show-and-tell aspect.
Okay, good.
So I would bring a couple of poems every week and share them.
Over a considerable span of time,
it'll be 3 years. 3 years I've been there, and this book came out late last year.
How's it been received so far?
Received very well so far.
Good. Good. How are you promoting it? I realize that you did Century Center here, poetry on your plate.
Yeah.
What other venues? I know you're involved in quite a bit of it, as is Tara.
Mm-hmm. We did a reading at the Clure Vineyards down near Apex. What was that event called, Tara Lynn?
Toast and Tunes,
yeah. So I read some
catchy
poems there. I promote it online.
Right.
My website is barkbarker.net, and you can pick up the book there and also read blogs. I just recently wrote 30 new poems during the month of April.
Cranking them
out.
Yeah,
it's a National Poetry Month, so mm-hmm. I write a poem a day.
That's right, I forgot about that. Well, Tara, cue us into what you've been up to. It's been a couple of years since I've had you on the show. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I've been writing poetry. I haven't gotten a new collection yet together, but I have 3 poetry books that I published over the past few years.
Probably since the last time I've seen you.
Yes, yeah. And one is themed about Paris, and I wrote all the poems during a week I spent in Paris. And then...
Now tell us what occasioned that.
I always wanted to go there, and I also really wanted to quit my job, and so it was the last vacation time that I had left, so I decided to go there, use up my vacation time, and then when I got back, I gave in my 2 weeks, I gave 6 weeks notice, because I was very generous, and I am celebrating writing full-time 4 years. It was 4 years
Fantastic.
Ago this month that
Congratulations.
Doing it full-time, and then I started... my writing business 5 years ago this month. So
tell us what the business is.
Well, I write a lot of things. So I write mainly for businesses. I'll write press releases and web content and search engine optimized content. And I'll do newsletters, and I also do other writing, like I'll do resumes, and I organize Triangle Writers here in the Raleigh-Durham area, which we just broke 450 members, and I also organize Asheville Writers, which just broke 100 members. It's a little bit more difficult to grow that because I'm not there as much.
Right.
And then I also help with Bart and Angelica and Pam. We're the 4 organizers of Living Poetry, which
right.
is now the largest group of poets in the Raleigh-Durham area.
How large?
Over 600 or over, we're almost 600.
Yeah, 600.
We're
yeah.
in the high fives.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Livingpoetry.net.
Yes,
and how can
you.
People contact you for your business?
Well, I run a blog for writers, mm-hmm. and it's called Write Naked, and you can find that at writenaked.wordpress.com. And also my website is taralyngroth.com, so it's okay. Taralyngroth.
Mm-hmm. Good one. And yes. if you forget all that, you can just contact me to find out about it at claudioarts.com. Mm-hmm. So let's be treated to some poetry, beginning with you, Bartholomew.
I would like to hear you guys read some of my poems. Tara Lynn, would you read the opening poem in my book?
I would love to.
Cue us in on what that
is. So the first poem is called, it's about Jane Avril. She was a dancer at the Moulin Rouge back in the latter part of the 19th century. I consider her one of the... I mean, obviously, she wasn't the first dancer.
One of my favorite time periods, though.
Right, but she's
the Bohemia.
The progenitor of this particular art. And so I wrote this with her, in her voice, trying to imagine what that would be like.
Ah, okay.
But you also, wasn't this inspired by one of your mom's art pieces?
Absolutely. My mom was doing an homage to Henri Toulouse-Lautrec's poster, one of the posters he did to advertise for the Moulin Rouge and Jane Avril. And she wanted me to write a little poem about it to use in her art. And it just sort of took off from there. I didn't realize that's probably the earliest poem I ever wrote. I wrote that long before I went to the club.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, and
nicely set up.
Since I love Paris and the Moulin Rouge, and I wore my Eiffel Towers today.
Entirely fitting. Oh, by the way,
spirit.
Before we go there, where exactly did you go in France?
I was just in
just
Paris.
In Paris,
yeah,
okay.
In Montparnasse is where I stayed. Yeah.
Ah, mm-hmm. Montparnasse.
Yeah. So this is Bartholomew Barker's Jane Avril at the Moulin Rouge, 1893. I let men believe the rhythm of the bass makes me lose control of my feet, my legs, my hips, that I must yield to the frantic beat, that I don't mean to reveal these petticoats. But of course, it's all a show, and men are simple to control.
How dare you?
Is that true?
Of course not.
Nah. Right.
Uh-huh. No. So, Claudia, would you read the poem that I wrote about Cyan? Cyan was my first muse there. She was the first lady. She greeted me at the door, practically.
I'd be honored to. Cyan, spelled C-Y-A-N. Caramel and vanilla drape the stale air, like the cyan dress falling from her body. She soothes me with kind attention, smiling words, feminine touch. My eyes follow hips swaying to music, up the concavity to her teacup breasts. She dances barefoot, leaning against me, like a pale cello between my legs.
Thank you, guys.
That's a breath of fresh air. Your turn.
My turn, all right. I'm going to read this one called Spinning Beauty. In it, I use a lot of astronomy metaphors.
Ah.
I also love astronomy. And what else do I need to say?
I noticed that was one of your passions. Sorry.
Bart's first poem he recently discovered was astronomy themed.
Yeah, my family, my natal family, remembered that I had a poem published back in high school in like the local high school newspaper, and it was an astronomy poem. And they actually found a copy they still had. And yeah, it was astronomy. Amazing. Then too. It's always astronomy with me.
That's a great fascination to have. I mean, it's endless.
And it is so ripe with metaphor for everything. So.
Mm-hmm. That I can see.
This one is called Spinning Beauty. Watching her, I am reminded of my first love, astronomy. She glides graceful across the stage until captured by gravity's pull. Revolving round, delicately balanced, familiar phases cast in strobe light. Rotating on her axis, she traces deference with high heels, casting epicycles. Her heavenly body evokes celestial law. Oh, to be the cylinder at the center of her universe. I don't know how many other poems about pole dancing and astronomy you've heard before.
Mm-hmm. Very few. Yeah.
That one definitely takes you on a little journey. I'm pleased to say. Now we can continue on. Let's do a few more of your pieces, and then I will contribute one of my own that are actually orchestrated. I'm going to be emceeing Rockfest 2014 in Winston-Salem coming up on the 17th, this Saturday, which is pretty much a modern-day Woodstock. I've been doing it for 4 years now. And for some reason, they still like me, so I'm going out there to emcee the whole thing. And one of the nice touches is that at the evening's end, I perform with the Donahue Station Band, which is the main band that puts all this together. The lead guitarist there is touted as the world's new Jimi Hendrix, and he is amazing. Also happens to be the son of my long-ago best friend, so who found me on Facebook to create this reunion. I hadn't seen his dad in over 30 years. So created this reunion and fell right back into the arts.
That's amazing.
But I'll be there in Winston-Salem. I don't know exactly the location, but you can probably look up Rockfest 2014 and get information on it. And I usually perform with the main band at evening's end and do sort of a Pink Floyd version of my own work with the band just giving me that Pink Floyd sound in the background. And I've got a little piece I'll be playing off one of my recordings. Are you ready to do another one? Or shall we go to that? Let's go to that as an interlude for the time being and then come back. So we'll listen to something with music, and then we'll go right back to Bart and his book and Tara and hers. Dakangala among the legions. I seep into the consciousness of fools who've sold their dreams and gradually aim my reek of havoc by edging through the seams. I am the sin of royalty, all lusts personified, and hinge myself on loyalty to darknesses untried. I am the great consumer of contempt, who also grandly metes it out, and merciless to prey in hand, no matter how they twist and shout. A riddler of dementia, robber of graves and sleep,
whose sole intoxication lies in the gloom of souls I keep. For I fear someday I'll make a trade of all souls for my own, when the gatherer of measured deeds seats me back upon the throne. So I'll thank you, masses, in advance, for being so willing and content to be governed by the guided ones by whom your souls were sent. I am but servant to my pride of legions in their lair, who guard a weary landscape and drink in its despair.
And I would call that poetry performance art, but I think it fits their rock out there really well. So it's a fun thing to do. And for some reason, the metaphor, the image of Pink Floyd is stuck because of the way I do it. And I kind of like it, listening to their music. I can see where that description comes from. It is not a description I came up with.
Oh yeah, you can definitely hear the Pink Floyd influence in the guitar work behind that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, the music helps with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Were you about to say something?
No, I just said the music helps with that, too.
All right. Well, we're going to go back to some more excerpts from Bart's Wednesday Night Regular book. And then, of course, I want to dig into some of your stuff as well, Tara, as we go on.
Okay, great. I've chosen one of Bart's poems that I remember. I feel like this was one of your original ones, because I remember I didn't know this word, and you had introduced it, I think, not only to me, but also Pam and Angelica, your Nepenthe. Which is, I think, an interesting word, and I'll let you describe the definition of it once I'm done reading it. But this is my Nepenthe. Dying from thirst and memory, she offers me a smile, a cool, smooth cyan liquid in a clear goblet. Fascinating, it dances with light, twirls in my hand, relaxing, sorrow falling away, like clothes in sweltering summer. Into her glittering pools I dive to drown in sweet distraction. Why surface to breathe poison when she heals as my Nepenthe?
Yeah, Nepenthe is a good old Greek word. It was a liquid that you would drink to forget.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
I learned that word early in the production of some of these poems. I thought, oh, that's just perfect. That's mm-hmm. That's what
rich,
I'm doing.
Rich metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I do in the book have there's definitely an alcohol theme in here. A lot of wine poems.
Considering the point of inspiration, I can fully understand mm-hmm. that. You want to give us a little background on yourself? How you came into becoming a poet, becoming a writer? Just who you are. What's it like to be you, Bart?
We were discussing this a little bit, not last weekend, the weekend before last. We were at Asheville's Word Fest, and
right.
so Bart... Mm-hmm. We spoke about it. We did a little kind of poet local session where we talked with other writers who came in, and also about each of us and how we came to start with poetry.
Well, give us a similar synopsis if you'd like.
So I was born and raised in Ohio. Went to school up in Chicago. Then went to Connecticut. Worked for nearly 20 years before moving down here.
What part?
Connecticut. Up near Bradley Airport, a town called Granby.
Gotcha.
Moved down here about 7 years ago now. Over that time, I've had two wives. And my poetry really comes to the fore during divorces.
I can imagine. That need to express certain things.
Yes. And so that's what got me started on poetry this most recent time.
Were you involved in any aspects of writing before? I mean,
I would still write. I tried to write short stories and things mm-hmm. like that, and I would still do the occasional poem, but it wasn't like this. I need to have that angst, that that right. emotional turmoil.
And what actually brought you to the South?
A job.
A job. Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of work?
I'm a computer programmer by day.
Ah, okay. You look like one now that you mentioned it. Yes. Now I know where the look comes from.
Oh, I see.
Looks like he could fix what's broke. I know I can't. Things stop working. I head for the telephone. Anyway, continuing with you.
And so I started writing, and then I found living poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got involved there. I was just going to sit there and, you know, have them help me with my poems. I would go to a workshop, get critiqued.
Now he runs them.
Yeah, so I was sitting there, and I said, at the time we had two workshops, and they were mostly full. And I said, you know, if you want to have a third workshop, I think I could facilitate this for you. And all of a sudden, I'm an organizer now.
Careful what you ask for.
Yep. You volunteer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or miss a meeting.
Right. And so that's when I decided, okay, let's start taking poetry seriously. Before it was just a release for myself. And now it's like, okay, let's really see what we can do with this.
With me, I went from writing short stories, which is still my passion, to short plays. And then I just found poetry as a means to be even more concise than a short story. I think if I ever write a novel, it'll be a collection of short stories, sort of like Ray Bradbury, The Illustrated Man. He mm-hmm. couldn't sell it as a book of short stories, so he created a novel idea out of the whole thing, where these stories actually were tattoos coming to life on this human body, but they were actually all short stories that he just wove together so he could sell the work as a novel.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other writers I can think of that did that. Gene Shepard's first book, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, that was done the
what
same
way. What is it with people in short stories? Mm-hmm. I love them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that as human beings, we think in terms of stories.
I think so, too. It's, mm-hmm. it's something as essential as eating and drinking, isn't
yes,
it? I mean,
it really mm-hmm. is. Yeah. And I consider poetry's to be extremely short stories, usually.
Yes.
Or at least images. You know, a single image can mm-hmm. be a story in a way.
Or something that shreds away all the unnecessary mm-hmm. aspects of the whole less is more element.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So may I read a poem? I don't like talking about poetry. I like reading poetry.
Well,
I like
talking about you, dear sir.
I don't like talking about myself either.
I know that feeling too.
Let's talk about this poem, or let's all hear right. this poem.
What is it?
It's called Like the Ocean. Her hips sway. Rhythm of waves against sand, tugged by the moon. Salt water glows from her skin. Sparkling stilettos reflect stars unseen from the stage where she dances like the ocean.
Like it.
So that's what I like my poems to be, nice and short like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one image brought out.
Well, I'm going to follow that up with something appropriate of yours.
Please.
Entitled Ballerinas. All little girls at some point want to be ballerinas. To color with joyful dance this gray grown-up world. But life dissolves dreams. Debts demand payment, with money as easy as lifting a skirt. Delicate limbs twist to please hollow men, watching their phones instead of breasts freed for their approval. Rejection still burns, livers overwhelmed, eyes looking nowhere. The personal cost of business for grown-up ballerinas. Whatever brought you to my table, I'm glad you're here tonight with me.
Thank you, Claudia. That was, yeah, excellent. I didn't want this to be a celebratory book. While I love my dancers, the strip club is not an entirely happy place.
No, I totally agree. There's so many things going on there. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to express that too. That, you know, there's a I want to be honest with this book. It's not mm-hmm. it's not just yay boobies. It's, you know,
yeah.
There's more going on.
The honesty is them finding some measure of joy in what they put forth, but at the same time there's a bit of an emotional as well as a moral struggle with that whole scenario. But judgment really needs to be left at the door.
Yep, absolutely.
Tara, let's get over to you.
Yes. Should I?
Do you remember one of yours, or do you have one of your books with you? Why don't we?
I brought
one
of my books.
Why don't we hear some Tara literature?
Yes. One thing I wanted to mention, though, about Bart's book that the listeners completely miss out on is the book has not only the cover is really evocative, but there are illustrations throughout the book that were created by.
Yeah, one of the dancers is a wonderful artist, and
perfect.
she produced these for me.
Can we mention her name?
Sure. Tammy Atkinson of Atkinson Creations.
Wonderful.
Yes. So this particular book of poetry of mine was my most recent, and this is called Misconnections of the Triangle. And it's a collection of poems that I created, and each line is from a real misconnection that took place in the Raleigh-Durham area, and then I just kind of reassembled them into a poem. And so misconnections you can find on Craigslist, where if you happen to notice someone you find attractive while you're shopping but you don't have the courage to talk to them, you can post something about what they were wearing or what you were wearing, and that, you know, if they feel the same, they can contact you. And so I tried to gather them in a way that I could keep, since it's all different stories, each line, but I tried to collect them in the same place so that like really romantic places around the triangle area are gas stations and supermarkets. So each section of the book is divided into different places. Also, offices have a lot of drama going on in them too. So, but since we are in Carrboro, I have two very short ones that take place here. One, each of these lines took place, these were different misconnections at Open Eye Cafe, and this is called Open Eye on You. Me, gorgeous but with someone. You, gorgeous and very married and alone this morning. You often hit the books at Open Eye. I think there's something about us. It's more than your ass.
Decent.
And
yes.
This is, these all took place at Weaver Street Market, and this is called Weaver Street. I was sitting outside Weaver Street Market last night playing ukulele. I didn't want to stare. The way you bit your bottom lip, I knew it was on. Every time I see you, I melt. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then the other place that was popular too, now that I'm looking through here, are fitness centers and gyms.
Interesting.
Allow for a lot of voyeurism, I guess.
I suppose so, yeah, I can see that point.
Whatever works. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm feeling intimidated here, you know. I'm the only
Why don't you give us one of your limericks or one of your recitals?
Oh, I could, you know.
Yes, you can. You've been put on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Otherwise, it's dead air.
Well, we don't want dead air. So the only thing I can think of is something I wrote many, many thousands of years ago, sitting on the front steps of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. It's called The Beast. On haunches of burnished bronze, it sits. With eyes that pierce to the soul, it looks. With destruction its only thought, it thinks. For an unsuspecting moment,
mm-hmm.
Very nice. The lions very there nice. In front of the museum?
There was that, and there was a woman that walked by who was not exactly the most attractive hatchet-faced woman I've ever seen. And between the two, it just hit me that the beast
was axing the metaphor.
Yeah, well, you know. So I just figured that, you know, here's this little beast in all of us that's just waiting mm-hmm. for us to trip up somewhere.
I have no idea why it made me think of a poem, which was probably one of the first poems I committed to memory in school by Alfred Lord Tennyson, called The Eagle.
Hmm.
He clasps the crags with crooked hands, close to the sun in lonely lands. Ringed with the azure world he stands, the wrinkled sea beneath him crawls. He watches from his mountain walls, and like a thunderbolt he falls.
Very good.
Good.
Speaking of beasts, that was one of my early tugs.
Yeah, well, you know.
And I wrote a piece myself inspired by that. It's called The River. I'm going to add that to it, and then we're going to go back to Bart. Bartholomew. I keep wanting to say Bart because that's what I wrote.
That's fine. That's
Bartholomew.
Fine.
Bartholomew. It's called The River. It goes, the river runs its winding distance, endless in its ebb and flow, as from the crags of crooked mountains watchful eyes perceive below. So sudden in their lethal gesture, they descend with folded wings. Once they capture from the river, to their heights they then ascend, sustaining life as life is given from their ever-flowing friend.
Hmm. Very nice.
Very good.
Have you noticed how poetry is very much influenced by place?
Mm-hmm.
Just about
very
every
so.
Poem,
yes.
Just about every poem has a real definite place.
A sense of immediacy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually going to be the theme for West End Poet Festival this year, I believe.
That's right. Yep. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in October in Carrboro.
Mm-hmm. At the Century Center or
yes.
where?
Yes, yeah, okay. They usually hold it at the Century Center.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
which will be part of the festival this year, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes.
And since we're doing poems about place, and since I'm in Carrboro,
yes,
let me read one I wrote about the farmer's market. Summer sun freckles your shoulders. I follow your cotton dress between stalls, carrying canvas bags, soon overflowing with booty from our morning expedition. Cauliflower, white, yellow, and unbelievably purple, fondled by your whisper-long fingers while choosing the ideal head for greedy consumption. Greens, mustard, collard, turnip, fibrous, deep, verdant leaves that will shrivel to potent nutrition with vinegar and fatback. Tomatoes, firm as your breasts, red as your lips on a night out drenched in Merlot. Cheese from the creamery west of Chapel Hill. Eggs from Fickle Creek. Beef from Baldwin's. Honey from Busy Bee. Wine from Benjamin's. The canvas cornucopia spills across our kitchen table. You prepare a lunch sharpened with flavors purchased mere minutes ago. We eat on the deck, ignore air conditioning, feed each other blueberries with our lips, reveling in primal nature.
Hmm.
You're making me hungry.
Yes.
That's right. And that poem is just about food. That's all it's about.
That's what you think.
Poetry can only be about one thing at a time.
And then, of course, there is sex and food, and one goes hand in hand with the other. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Shall we do a station break? It's a half hour.
I think that's a good idea.
And that's, so we'll do that. And I will remind you that you're listening to Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM 103.5. And we will give you a little bit of a promo right now.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
And we are back with that, and I'm going to go to one of Claudio's poems right now. Yep. Okay.
Mud in Your Eye. I've been keeping abreast of the storm's raging quest from a bar in the French Quarter of town, while the gales from the west were all doing their best to hail the apocalyptic Katrina aground. Now there's mud in the eye of the sailor tonight, where broken levees have leveled the shore. And with the warnings all out and the natives in flight, the Big Easy ain't easy no more. When the waters rose as high as an elephant's eye, and knives of wind ceased their cutting about, an eerie silence would sigh as the night gave a cry to the voodoo of time running out. All the souls in despair who felt abandoned by care, and whom misfortune did not allow to depart, questioned country and state in this quagmire of fate, and found it best a debatable heart. A generosity grew from much more than a few who accomplished what politicians could not. But before this was true, an unrest would ensue among the ravaged whom time had forgot. A dead body neglect from the governing sect is the talk of all our daily news. With rivers as streets and all disquieting feats, New Orleans is neck deep in her blues. It's a primitive take when your town is a lake, not to mention the neighboring states. There are strange things afloat in a hat and a coat, all abandoned to partisan traits. At Johnny White's on Bourbon Street, we drank warm beer and spooned canned meat. while Lake Pontchartrain cut a brand new loop and turned a cultural gumbo into toxic soup. It was Helter Skelter in a stadium for shelter, where Americans were called refugees. They arrived in great number from a wind that drew thunder and took comfort where there was no aim to please. With a sailboat for a penthouse that drowned out the church mouse, the hurricane blew in some very sad ends. We paid for our choices with ever-weakening voices, resting far too easy on political trends. A government of the rich is a cancerous itch, and reminder that we have all sinned. Like Bob Dylan would say with his nomadic sway, the answer is blowing in the wind. A president touting religion as a special interest stool pigeon may be facing a rising of tides. Ceasing arrogance not, he may soon face his lot, in whom true power and justice resides. Chaos and creation, known as civilization, are subject to a shifting imbalance ashore. A maligned collective neglect always leads to regret. And the Big Easy ain't easy.
We're back to the work of Bartholomew Barker, Wednesday night regular, and I'm going to be reading one that I'm particularly fond of called Wine into Wisdom, to which Bartholomew will then respond with an answer and explain both. Wine clings to the side as I slowly twirl the glass, watching purple strobes blink in the mallow, feeling my shoulders drop into a burgundy-stained stomach, cool liquid transmuted into warm inspiration, soaking into the web of nerves pulled up the spine to my skull, breaking the blood-brain barrier, soft fleece on a cold night. Each sip is a prayer to Bacchus. Grant me the confidence to chat with these dancers so beautiful, and the wisdom not to fall in love.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember sitting there in the club and just twirling my red wine in the glass, and how the legs of the wine work, and it's...
Your poetry does take one into the immediacy of the moment, so my compliments on that.
Thank you, thank you. One of the subplot, I suppose, of this poetry book is the alcoholism.
The theme.
Yeah, it's a theme in a poetry. So. Mm. And so I wrote another poem called Wine into Wisdom, which happens maybe another 20 pages later from the one you read. Wine clings to the side as I slowly twirl the glass, watching colored stage lights bounce off Merlot. Through the haze, I realize I am the wine, clinging to that which confines me. Living in the glass, gradually sinking in this pool of wine that used to support me. Once clarion clear, my voice is now slurred spittle. But without the wine, I might not speak at all. Once literary and lucid, my words are now confused and common. But without the wine, I might not write at all. Each sip is a curse. I must keep the glass half empty. Otherwise I will lose all that I have gained.
Okay, that worked for me.
Touché. And Tara, how about endowing us with some of your gifts?
Yes, I have a poem here that Bartholomew helped me revise a few years ago, and it was selected last year by Winston-Salem Writers for their Poetry in Plain Sight program, which they select 2 to 3 poets every month, and then the poet's poem will be put on a poster and then displayed at different venues around the Arts and Entertainment District. So mine was in February or March last year. So they're open to submissions from anybody, if anyone, it's no cost to submit.
And so who does one send this to?
Winston-Salem Writers. If you go to their site and look up Poetry in Plain Sight, and it'll be on there. So this is called Tea Time at Loch Ness. Not many people have seen Bigfoot. He keeps a low profile, but he loves high tea. He packs a picnic every Thursday. Fresh honey, wild berry scones, pine nut maple cake. He lumbers through the woods to a spreading mountain lake, sits upon a waterlogged stump, and waits for Nessie. She breaks the surface of the water with her arched neck, bent like the birch along the shore. Then the mossy marbles of her eyes lock with his. She brings haggis sandwiches and caviar. In the shadows, they feast and discuss their stealth lifestyles. They laugh and sip their tea.
Haggis sandwiches sounds interesting.
Oh, haggis is great.
That was Bart, his element that he added in there, because he's been to Scotland, so he was able to give me a little bit
haggis.
More.
It's good stuff.
I'm sure I'd like it,
I enjoyed it very much.
Hey, I've got an alcohol poem for you. It's actually a toast.
Well, let's have it.
Yeah, it says...
it's that sort of bohemia now on the Speakeasy. Just let me remind folks, you're listening to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theatre here on WCOM 103.5 FM. I am entertaining the wonderful poet Bartholomew Barker, as well as Tara Lynn Groth. They're here in the studio, and my co-host is the president of the Apex Arts Council, Bob Crowley, who's about to give us a poem once I announce once again the show is underwritten by the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council. Bob Crowley, the stage is yours.
Okay, this is my little alcohol poem. As I say, it's more of a toast than anything else, and it goes, cool water is the best of drinks, so all the poets sing. But who am I that I should have the best of everything? Let princes at the pump revel and kings at the well drink free. But whiskey, beer, or even wine is good enough for me.
That's
perfect. I'll go what he said. Yeah.
Right.
But, whenever I'm asked to make a toast, I'll usually come up with that one.
Mine is usually, may we all be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows we're dead.
Yep.
That way we stand a chance of getting through those pearly gates. Bartholomew, let's go back to you.
Back to me.
With whatever you'd like to represent.
Well, I think we've done enough alcohol for today.
Well, the alcohol is omnipresent in that literature anyway, so.
Did you bring any poems from the science reading last week? Because Bart was, he read at Poetry Scope at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences.
I do not believe I have
that. But he might have it with him. But his poem... They select poems that have a science theme to them.
Okay.
So and one of the other organizers of Living Poetry, Bart does not have it. Pam Taylor.
Next time he'll be on the show again.
She's been partnering with them so that throughout the year we pair up with their science cafes, and their science cafes are every Thursday evening. So then they do a poetry night. So
he'll do an astronomy poem. That's good science.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't. I did not bring that along.
Sorry. Oh, well.
That's all right.
Well. Yeah. You can actually watch the performance online if you.
Yes.
It was streamed live and they recorded it. So if you go to my blog, bartbarker.net, scroll back a couple of posts, you'll see a link to it there.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So we're here to promote the book.
Yes.
Bartbarker.net. So let's.
Mm-hmm. And poetry in itself.
Poetry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a room full of poets.
This poem I'm going to read, and then we'll discuss it later.
Good, okay.
It's called Plato's Cave. Silhouette dances behind the stage, projected onto plush curtains by sharp spot light. Spiraling her hips, spinning down the pole, just two dimensions. I am reminded of Plato's Cave, but here three-dimensional bodies are no more real. Projections of masculine desire, exaggerations of feminine beauty, intoxications of romance. I have been to the surface but the sun was too bright. Defeated, I returned to shadow. Yep. So who knows about Plato's cave, the allegory that Plato wrote in one of his rooms?
I am familiar with it, but remind me.
So the idea was that all we are seeing are the shadows of things. The reality is behind us, and we're just seeing the projection.
Very true to life in general. Yes.
And that got me thinking while I was sitting there at the stage, and a girl was on the pole spinning, and I could see through the spotlight her silhouette reflected on the curtains behind.
Mm-hmm. Takes you there. It's amazing where the imagination goes while the eye is focused on something. Mm-hmm. What things it draws back and makes you realize that you're aware of or not aware of. I know Ray Bradbury, when he wrote his own biography, which he was hesitant to do for a long time. I think a lot of us writers don't like speaking about ourselves, don't like talking about ourselves. But he finally took it to task, and he titled it "Drunken in Charge of a Bicycle." I always loved that metaphor. But he used to say when he thought of these different individual short stories that they would while he was sitting there writing about a certain theme. Suddenly something that he remembered from 10 years ago or a woman he remembered walking by that had a certain limp or whatever that suddenly became an edgy part of a character that he was creating. So he says the subconscious picked this up years ago and recorded it and is giving it to me now. And he goes, how dare you?
Yeah, but that's true. I mean,
that's what happens.
You know that as a writer, that absolutely. You'll pick those things up and they're there and then all of a sudden, pop, there they come.
Yes. And you've got this well to draw from, and there the characters dance.
Yeah. Yes. Got to be a great observer of people and places and things to be a good writer.
Now, you had a bit of a limerick, Bob. What was that one? Is can we do that on radio?
Yeah, you could do it. I mean, it's a...
Then do it.
It's a little bit of...
I think both Bartholomew and Tara will enjoy it.
Oh, that was...
If you can recall it.
He
always recalls it readily on the car drive, so let's see how he is on stage.
Well, it says that... A randy young couple named Kelly were found stuck belly to belly because in their haste they used library paste instead of petroleum jelly.
Ah, that wasn't the one I was thinking of, but okay.
Is that the one you wanted?
No, I was thinking more of a drinking man's, but I can't remember what it was. It was more of a... It was a lengthier one.
Lengthier one. Well, that's always the sexual life of the camel.
There we go, that's it.
The sexual life of the camel is stranger than anyone thinks. At the height of the mating season, he tries to bugger the Sphinx. But the Sphinx's posterior sphincter is all clogged by the sands of the Nile, which accounts for the hump on the camel and the Sphinx's inscrutable smile.
That's the one.
That's great. I don't know why I remember that, but I just uncork it once in a while.
Oh, it's great for sitting in a pub, I'm sure.
Yeah. Tara. One of these days I'm going to bring in some Robert Service and read that.
Good, yes. Any more from you, Tara?
Yes, I have another one. This one was workshopped by Living Poetry back when the workshops just first started, and it was published in Mused Literary Review. It's called Apple. You meet me at the library. The smell of fresh mint from your breath greets me before you do. I offer you a ripe apple. How cliche this is, like Eve and her Adam, I say. You smile. You better count your ribs when you leave here, I whisper, as your teeth tear the skin. So we were given three words and had to write a poem in a few minutes, and I think it was apple and mint and library, and that's what came out of it.
That's beautiful. Perfect. Cool. And you didn't call it Adam's rib.
No, I didn't.
That's good.
But anyone listening, you've been ribbed.
Yeah.
That's something that we've learned to do as poets in Living Poetry. Is we do poetry on demand, where we will be set up at like an arts festival with a table. Mm-hmm. People can come up, give us a dollar, and give us a word to inspire us, and we'll write a poem in 3 minutes or less.
Our next one, which Bart sadly will not be at because he will be spending a month in Brazil.
Watching soccer games.
Will be the first Saturday in September at the Chatham Mills Farmers Market in Pittsburgh from 9 to 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. Cue us in on this trip.
So I am a big soccer fan, so much so that I call it football.
Mm-hmm. Which is the truth.
Yes. And he
wears a kilt.
Yes.
Ah,
when Scotland's playing, certainly. And I apologize. I didn't bring any of my football poems with me, and I just don't commit my poems to memory as readily. Otherwise, I would share with you one that I have that I know my friends in the Triangle Soccer Fanatics.
But tell us what you're going there for and what games you're going to see.
So the World Cup happens every 4 years, mm-hmm. the national tournament for all the best nations. And I've been to each of the last five from the time it started here in 1994, or when the United States hosted in 1994. I've seen at least one game in each of the places. Hmm. 4 years ago, I was in Cape Town. I think I wrote a Cape Town poem here when I was here last time, which was
I think you did,
2011.
Yes.
And so I'll be in the city of Salvador, de Bahia, Brazil. And I'll be posting to my blog, BartBarker.net, quite regularly with Brazilian poems.
You'll be there for a month.
I'm there for a whole month. Yeah, I took up a whole month. I turn 50 years old this year.
Ah.
And so I thought, let's celebrate.
Over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the next location going to be?
Russia. So I'll be spending some time in Petersburg.
Well, you gave me the rundown of the games that are going to be played. How about doing that for our audience?
The opening game that I will be at in Salvador is Spain versus Netherlands.
That's a rematch of the championship
from last year, from 4 years ago. I will also get to see Germany-Portugal, which is going to be another phenomenal game. Switzerland and France.
Be a little friendlier, but still.
Yeah. But the game I'm really looking forward to, he says ironically, is Bosnia-Herzegovina versus Iran.
Wow. There's going to be blood for that one. I'm kind of looking forward to, considering some of your other poetry when you get a chance to lay on the beach at Ipanema and write some poetry about the scenery there.
Yes.
Yeah, so that go from Ipanema.
The only thing I'm worried about is this is in June, but it'll be winter for them. The highs will be in the 70s. I'm going to feel great. It'll probably be so much nicer than here where it'll be 90s or 100.
Yeah.
But everyone there is going to be all bundled up like it's crazy cold. Yeah, I'll be walking around in shirt sleeves. That's what happens in Cape Town.
Their blood is thinned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, it's like Florida. They wear the mink coats in the middle of winter there, in the middle of summer there. It gets cool.
Well, we've got 5 more minutes to wrap things up so we can do another reading from you, Bart, and then give all that contact information again, Tara, you, mm-hmm. and Bob Crowley for the Apex Arts Council, and then we'll slowly bring this to a close, and I think I have one more of your poems.
You're going to conclude things.
A poem that's actually called Closing Time.
Yes, but we're not closed yet.
I'm a good-looking guy at closing time,
Let's see. We've got to go back to one more alcohol poem.
There we go.
This one's called Tightrope. One glass, and I feel fog glow on my skin. Two, and the words flow like spring rain. Three, and they pour brilliant, but not in the right order. More, and I drowned in the flood. Somewhere between 2 and 3 is where I want to stay. But my Merlot muse is unreliable. Sometimes 2 is enough, especially with a beauty on my arm. But alone requires more and more every night. Like walking a windy tightrope, trying to find the balance between saving and spending, abstinence and addiction, truth and beauty, and the only way not to fall is to drop.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Tara, let's have one more from you.
All right. This one is very short. This was also published in the Mused Literary Review, and this is called You Win. You carry my heart like a child carries a prized goldfish home from the fair. It's swollen and leaks as you swing the precious thing on your triumphant walk.
Like it. Let's give our contact information one more time. Tara, from you, since you have the mic.
Sure. You can read my blog at writenaked.wordpress.com. It has everything about from freelance writing, publishing, poetry, different writing events, conferences. And my main website is taralyngroth.com. And you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is writenaked.
Hey, hey. To you, Buff.
My website is bartbarker.net. You can like my poet page on Facebook, which is Bartholomew Barker Poet. What's my Twitter handle? Bart Barker Poet. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, give us a rundown on Arts Council quickly.
Apex Arts Council, definitely you want to try that. We are at www.apexartscouncil.org. We're planning our next show will be a visual arts show in historic downtown Apex. It will run the 10 days over 4th of July weekend, and this will be patriotic art, which I think should bring out some interesting things. And we're doing some other fun stuff that we're going to announce fairly soon. But that's about it I can do right now. The other stuff is secret.
Mm-hmm. As of yet.
Yeah.
And if you want to contact me, it's claudioarts.com. That's www.claudioarts.com. I'm going to do a poem, one from Wednesday Night Regular by Bartholomew Barker, the guest in the studio today, along with Tara Lynn Groth. And this is an appropriate piece with which we are going to close the show. This is entitled Closing Time. Final chord settling into velvet-draped walls. Dancers safely backstage. False dawn at 2 a.m. as lights undim. They say you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I sit in my cold car, windows down, exhaling scented clouds of fading intoxication. Clarity of Orion's setting stars in still winter air dissolves the dream. Dancers emerge as mere women, girls much too young for me, wine just rancid grapes. In this 21st century Eden, succumbing to temptation is not to be expelled, but to remain within. I choose exile after 6 months, finally sober enough to go home. Thank you for joining us. I'm Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and thank you guys for
thank you, Claudio and Bob,
being such wonderful.
Thank you for having us, and I absolutely love hearing you read my poems, and thank you, Terilyn, for reading Jane Avril. It is so cool to hear other people read your own poems. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel like a real poet.
Well, you're part of the family here, so we will continue this. There's an ongoing legacy here.
Excellent.
Thank you for my book.
You're
very signed
welcome.
One for me. I have one of my own. Thank you for tuning us in, folks. This is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. On behalf of Bob Crowley and myself, signing off. Until next time, cheers.
Thank you.
And we're just going to remind you, you're listening to WCOM 103.5 FM, your voice in the community of Carborough and Chapel Hill.
Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Thank you, folks, for joining us. See you next week on the radio. Cheers.